Hello, and welcome to another edition of your Ask the Experts weekend. My name is Josh McCarthy. I'm here with WOKV, and I want to welcome you to a special, special show because, as you know, this slot is scheduled for Pete the Job Guy, and Pete the Job Guy Langlois introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies as he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And he does it all with this honest and oh-so-entertaining filter. But today, we have a special guest because we have a takeover. Pete is not here today, and Pete always asks someone so reliable to come sit in his spot. And today we have Lori Day, who is the Director of Client Strategy and Development for CGI. Welcome to the show, Lori.
Greetings, all of you hard workers. I hope you're having a great weekend. I want to welcome you to the Hard Worker Radio Show. Clearly, I'm not Pete, the job guy, but I am your takeover host, Lori Day. If you're a regular listener, you may recognize my voice. I've been on the show a couple of times and had the distinct pleasure of guest hosting for Pete when he, well, when he does whatever he does, when he's not here. Our producer, Josh, said this is the show that's dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. In fact, some of the content comes directly from you. Folks, if you have a situation at work and you'd like Pete and his guests to discuss it on the air, or quite frankly, if you want some private advice, just reach out to Pete. You can do that at his email, which is pete@petethejobguy.com. Who knows, your topic could spark a whole episode. Each week, our local experts share their tips and experiences to help you. We like to say we focus on feed forward instead of feedback. We share lessons of success and hard knocks to help you, hopefully, avoid pitfalls, but also be proactive about achieving your goals. So kudos for you for showing up today. You chose to get here, get ready, and get sharp because you're a hard worker and you want to take your career or your company to the next level. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. We have a great show for you, and we're going to be cracking the code on leadership secrets. In a few minutes, you're going to meet my amazing guest, local leader, trailblazer, and wicked smart financial expert, Robin Wabi. She's the founder and president of Wabi Financial Group. She's an entrepreneur, a speaker, a community steward, and in her words, a corporate dropout. Robin and I share many mutual connections, such as our networks with the Jacksonville Women's Network, the Executive Women Exchange, and others. But I would say most certainly she has cracked the code on many secrets in leadership. And I know we will all benefit from what she shares with us today. So get your pencil, get your paper handy, and we're going to get going. But first, I want to talk about making career decisions. It's an important part of career achievement and overall success, which success, by the way, defined only by you, starts with a bit of soul searching. Specifically, we need to know what inspires us, not what motivates us or the problem we're solving or the goal we're trying to reach. Really, really, what's important to us? Because what inspires us will long outlast our immediate needs. We have to be relentless in quieting that loud voice that keeps us up at night, that problem that keeps nagging at us so that the voice in our soul doesn't get drowned out. You might say, well, what does that mean? So we're going to talk a little bit about that more deeply. But since you have your paper and pencil handy, I want you to jot down three things, maybe five, that are really important to you. Doesn't have to be job related. Just let the thoughts flow. Just think about really what inspires you, what is important. And while you're doing that, I'll share what inspires me. So first of all, I've come to realize that making a difference in other people's lives is critical for me to be involved with things that I can help. So service is huge for me, and making a difference is definitely something that I get inspired by. I want to be the best mom, the best wife, daughter, sister, and community steward that I can be. I want to feel like my work adds value and is appreciated. And I also know that I want to be part of something that's so much bigger than me so that I can grow and learn new things and be challenged. So I hope you've thought of a couple of things that maybe resonate with you. Maybe it's part of your family. Maybe it's the type of work you get to do. Maybe it's the environment you're in that inspires you. But now that we have kind of that in our in the back of our mind, let's apply them to what I consider four cornerstones of questions that need to be asked that will guide you in making career decisions. Now, I tend to think of these sequentially, but as we walk through them, there may be certain things that stand out to you as being the most important. Number one, the question that I always ask is, who will I be working for? And sometimes that's difficult to figure out, if particularly if you don't know the individual or you've met them just during an interview. But trying to see yourself working in an environment and the person who's your leader, understanding, do they get you? Are they interested in your growth? Are they interested in helping you achieve your goals? So to me, that's really important. And then secondly, what will I do? So perhaps you don't know how great it'll be working with the person that is the hiring manager. But if you're keen on what it is you're going to do, perhaps it's your dream job, or you're passionate about being connected with maybe children or whatever that might be. Suddenly, if what you're going to do is exactly what you want, you can take some concession with who you work for, knowing that you're going to have joy and fulfillment with what you do. Question number three, where will I be? That could be your most important thing, because if being able to take care of an aging parent or being able to be at a baseball field on certain days, to not travel. However, what if you love to see the world? Maybe travel is really important and that enables you to see things you've never seen. And that's good. But knowing what inspires you and connection to where you will be is important. So if number one, who you work for isn't great, what you do, mediocre, where you be, the number four, how much will I make, suddenly becomes your most important thing, right? So if what you're doing is awesome, who you're working for is awesome, you know, you can kind of make some concession around the compensation because you know you're going to be enriched in other ways. So I bring this up to your attention and go back to what I had mentioned around the voice in your head that keeps you up at night. If you're suddenly solving a problem, let's say you find yourself out of a job and you're thinking about, I've got to pay my bills, I need to get the paycheck. So the voice in your head is financial security, right? And so that's the voice that keeps you awake. But all of those internal soul voices of what inspires me, what's going to make me happy, are going to be the ones that last. Once you solve that financial security challenge and you have the rest of those needs that you have, your inspiration to solve for. And if you only solve for the money, I promise you, you won't be fulfilled. You won't have the productivity that you know you're capable of. And lastly, you'll burn out. So I encourage you, as you make decisions, and sometimes they're hard decisions and you make those, but know that have a backup and give yourself a journey so you can align yourself. So what I would say is our first secret is this. We promised we were going to crack some code on secrets. And one of the things that people oftentimes wonder, my leader, what's going to make me stand out in their mind? What's going to make me shine and be valuable? Well, here's the secret. The secret is if you align what inspires you to your job opportunity, you suddenly have cracked that code. So making that alignment for inspiration is a great segue into my guest, Robin Wabi. I mentioned she's a self-proclaimed corporate dropout. Well, she spent 25 years recruiting, training, and developing advisors for New York Life. And if my memory serves me correctly, Robin, you were the first female managing partner at New York Life. Is that right?
Wasn't the first, but one of four. But I was the first woman that was 30 years old to
All
make
right.
managing partner. So
awesome. So I'd say that was a pretty big feat. Mm-hmm. But you also have told me and others that you loved every minute of what you did until you didn't. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you went through a bit of alignment exercise yourself. So I'd love for you to tell our listeners today your career journey and tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, I will. You know, it was a fun journey, and 25 years is a long time, so certainly a lot happened. But, You know, I guess I'll start. I was at the University of Maryland. I was a finance major.
Go Terps.
Go Terps. Thank you. And always wanted to be a stockbroker. And graduated, started to interview and do a couple things in that field, and did not like it at all. And was devastated. Of course, you're 22, you know, think you know everything.
But right.
22 and devastated. And, but my girlfriend encouraged me to interview at some banks and insurance companies and things that I hadn't really considered. And what I noticed right away from the insurance companies is that they had a much more well-rounded view of what I thought about how things should work within a person's financial household, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they had a difference between savings versus investing, and they looked at the risk management pieces. And that just made more sense to me. And maybe I'll back up a little bit more, is that growing up, so started this at 22. I'm 52 now. My brother is 3 years younger than me, but he was born, had just a bad birth, and he is a quadriplegic, has cerebral palsy, and is developmentally disabled. He's 3 years younger than me. And so you don't really notice a lot when you're a kid because he's just my little brother. But certainly as you start to grow older and you start to look around you and you start to compare yourselves to other families, you know, I saw that we were different in a good way. But one of the things that always made an impression on me, and you talked about financial security, is that we didn't have it. And anytime they would say, well, Christopher should have, you know, extra therapy and extra occupational and extra behavioral, it was always, we don't have any money, so we can't do that. And I kind of just heard that my whole entire life. So I was definitely inspired desired a better lifestyle than what we had. So as I'm coming out of the University of Maryland, you know, people are saying, go back to school. But I didn't want to go back to school. I didn't have any money to go back to school. And I had bartended my way all through college. And I was, you know, tired, but I was also anxious and kind of hungry to get going. And then other people would say, well, start a business. And I'm like, I have no money. And then I have no expertise. I'm 22 years old. Like, you know, and then so other people would say, well, work your way up, you know, go the audit route. You know, and I thought, gosh, to make partner, I hear people talk about it, it's 30 years to make partner. So here I am at an insurance company, and I don't think that anybody like grows up and says, hey, when I get older, I want to go work for an insurance company. Like no one ever really says that. So, but here I am, I go in for an interview, and this guy just, he gets me from phrase one, which is talking about what motivates me. But then he says something to me, and I'll never forget. And he says, here, and you have to remember, New York Life back then was 125 years old, about. You know, so I'm 22. They're 125 years old. You know, they're AAA rated. They're everything. But it really didn't mean anything to me at the time. But as he started to talk, I realized that I was the wild card. Like, I thought I was the fancy one coming out of college with my finance degree. And then I realized, wow, like, you know, he's interviewing 200 to 300 people and he'll hire 10 by the end of the year, right? But he said to me this, he says, Robin, if you work the first 5 years, like a lot of people are not willing to work, he said, I will promise you that you can work, or that you can live the rest of your life like most people can't. And that got me, right? And it got me, and I said, why? Like, what do you mean by that? And he said, you're building a book, and that book has residual income and lifetime residuals, and you can build up a pension plan, and it was all these things. And so it was things that I hadn't even thought about. And it was even so much so that I almost didn't go to the interview. And so after the interview, I had to reflect and say, why were you almost not going to show up? It's almost like I felt that, you know, investment companies were here, but insurance companies were here, right? And they were lower, and I don't even know. And so, you know, many years later, I've always reflected on, you know, what if I would have never showed up for that interview? And so one of my favorite sayings is, you know, don't let your ego get in the way of your income.
There you go. I love that.
One of my favorites. So spent 25 years there and never even had it on my radar. But what makes us say no? Like, why are you 22? Why are you saying no to things that you don't know anything about? I couldn't figure out why I was doing it. And I'd go into other projects or other parts of my career and I'd say no. And I just realized, you know, Robin, you got to start saying yes. Like, you can't say no before you even know anything.
So that's interesting. I think we found our second secret is really feeling like you got to have all the answers in before you pursue something. Do I know it? Am I certified? Am I educated in this system versus giving it a try? And do you find that that's different for men versus women? That women have a tendency to say no more because they feel like, wow, I don't even know what that is yet? Or do you think that's maturity?
I don't think so.
Or
the only male-female thing I kind of, 30 years ago would notice and up till now is that women didn't, finance would scare them a little bit more. But I would say in the orbit of a non-traditional career, so to speak, males and females were the same. It was just they hadn't considered it. Sounds kind of sexy, but then when the commission only kind of pops in there, it's like, wow, I'm just not sure that I'm there yet, or I need that paycheck.
Right.
It's still universal today when people consider. But I'm a big advocate for non-traditional careers because I really think. It changed my thinking. It changed my lifestyle. It really delivered to me a platform that I could take and do anything with it. What they say there is that you're in business by yourself, you're in business for yourself, but you're not all by yourself. And there's just a whole network of, however old they are now, 150-year-old corporation behind you. And it really is all of that and was just lucky to have mostly men, honestly. It was it was like maybe one of the only women in my office for a while, but mostly men that, liked me and cared about me and wanted to see me be successful and would steward me to other careers with inside the company, so much so that when the partner position came up, I said no, and I think I was scared. By this time, I had finally kind of conquered sales, and they wanted me to go into this management development role, and I said no. Like, why would I do that? Like, now I'm living the dream. Like, now, why do you want me to do something else now? And I said no the first time, and then my boss came back around maybe a year later and asked me again, and he said, Robin. And he said, "We're not gonna hire any women unless we put a woman in management." So, like,
wow.
All of us, like,
that's awesome,
right? And so, what great thinking, back then, and what great care and thoughtfulness that went into that. And so, I said yes, and then that was even harder than the first time around, and it took me, I guess, another 5 years to make. Senior partner, and then I was in Washington, D.C., and finally made managing partner, and I had just turned 30 years old, and they sent me to Jacksonville, and that's how I got here.
Wow. Yeah. What a road.
Right.
That's awesome.
Right.
You mentioned your family story and your brother, and you are the president of Angelwood.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love for you to tell our listeners a little bit about Angelwood. I've just recently been exposed to it and just am so impressed.
Oh, yeah, I would love to talk about Angelwood. Angelwood's been in this community for about 27 years. It was started by Sally Fox, who was a news anchor in Jacksonville. She was a single mom. She gave birth to a little girl who had some special needs, had another child, special needs again, and she quit her job, and she started Angelwood. I think maybe a year or two into it, she realized that, big heart, but she maybe didn't have all the business side that she needed to run Angelwood. And she tapped on a, a couple of community leaders in town. The first one was Nadine Gramling. And then there were some others along the way that kind of helped finance her. And then, you know, here we are 27 years later with 6 group homes, adult day programs. We do job training, behavioral, occupational, you know, therapy, respite. And then probably our most fun thing is camp.
Yeah.
You know, during the summer. We have all kind of volunteers that come in and help us with camp. And so this is my second go around of president as the board. And we just finished our gala on Saturday night and another wonderful event. But, you know, anyone I would just encourage with any questions around developmentally disabled or moving to Jacksonville and you just want to know kind of how to get plugged in is to call me or call Diane at Angelwood. And we can certainly kind of help you learn how to navigate the system, you know, here in Florida.
That's awesome. It's a great organization, and certainly I think that's a great resource for people who have questions and want to be able to plug in and figure out, you know, resources that may help them.
Right.
Listen up, Jacksonville hiring managers. Do you spend a ton of time going through stacks of applications with marginal levels of qualifications every time you post an ad for one of your open positions? Are the job boards just letting you down? Are you tired of paying big fees from big firms? Well, then you need to reach out to the person my colleagues and I do when we need professional staffing assistance. We reach out to Jacksonville's own Pete the Job Guy at www.petethejobguy.com. Pete has run a successful staffing firm for over 20 years here in Jacksonville. He and his professional staff are uniquely qualified to fill your temporary, temp to hire, and direct hire staffing needs. His email, if you want to reach out to him, is pete@petethejobguy.com or visit his website, www.petethejobguy.com. So I think I hear the music that's telling us it's time for our bottom of the hour break. Well, you're listening to Hard Worka with Pete the Job Guy, although I'm not Pete, and we're on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back, hard workers. You're listening to Hard Worka with Pete the Job Guy. And if you just now join us, I am not Pete the Job Guy. I'm Lori Day. I'm filling in for Pete while he's away today. We are really glad you're with us. And if you've just tuned in, you'll be hearing from my amazing guest, Robin Wabi, President and CEO of Wabi Financial Group. And today, we're really focusing on exposing leadership secrets. Leadership and being a leader. Those words have what I consider innate perceptions, whether you're the actual leader or if you're a person interacting with that leader. And those perceptions and expectations sometimes can create an environment that things go well or maybe not so much. But in the middle of all of that, there are these myths or secrets, if you will, that I wanted to just spend some time with Robin, accomplished professional in so many ways, and just get thoughts and talk about that. The first one that comes to mind that I think is not just in leaders, but it could be for anyone really, is that you need to feel like if you're the leader, you need to feel like you're the smartest one in the room. And we know that high performing or overachievers often believe they're smart, but sometimes fall fear to being perhaps not as smart as they believe others believe them to be. So in turn, they end up worrying that someday someone's going to discover that they really aren't as talented or brilliant as they were made out to be. And that falls back into that vicious cycle of feeling like you've got to be the smartest one in the room. So Robin, do you think a leader needs to have all the answers?
Certainly not.
And
I mean,
how do they get through not having answers?
Surrounding themselves with the people that do. I mean, you know, I think some of this is youth. I think I would have answered you differently in my 20s and in 30s. I mean, I think this is all about a career journey. certainly as I've gotten older, I've changed my thinking. And I think leaders have actually, or at least leaders that I prefer to follow, maybe, mm-hmm. have become more vulnerable. I think if you're so perfect, maybe no one would want to follow you. But I'm certain in my 20s, I was just, and 30s, was just trying to do everything that everyone wanted me to do. And somewhere along the line, I just learned that I couldn't do that. And to be vulnerable, to ask questions, was okay. And that, and maybe I was putting all the pressure on myself. It was really not my boss. It was me.
Right.
And, but I think that's easy to wrestle with as you get older. And I think sometimes when I see people have it all together, it just makes me wonder.
Right.
Because I don't really think anybody has it all together. You know, I think we're all trying to figure it out. But I do think the better leaders definitely seem to be perfect in the way that they are more balanced, you know.
Right. I've heard a phrase that you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be perfect at keeping the process going. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, get perfect at not giving up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's really good advice, having the vulnerability, mm-hmm. the authenticity, because you're right. When you are available, if you're open, you become more authentic and transparent, and people can develop more trust.
Right.
And not feel like they themselves are setting themselves up for failure because they can't be perfect.
Exactly.
And that's the other one, is kind of goes with hand in hand on perfectionism. And, you know, when you fall into that trap of wanting to be a perfectionist and making sure that everything is right, it can be debilitating. It can be overwhelming. It can be stressful. It can be physically and mentally really, really challenging. And I mean, I think we all logically know that, you know, perfection is not real. Mm-hmm. You can't be perfect, but, and we give grace to other people, right? It's mm-hmm. easy to say, oh no, that's fine. But when it's ourselves, we tend to raise the bar to that impossible level. So, you know, right. Has there been a time where you've had something, you know, the stakes are high, something's really important, and you wanted it to go well, but Murphy, you know, did his thing and mm-hmm. things kind of had some curveballs, but it still worked out okay?
Yeah, you know, one thing that just popped in my head is that so early on, you have to hire potential new people. It could be career changers. It could be people like me out of college, and learn, kind of teach them the insurance industry up through the investment industry. But then at certain levels of managing partner, now you have to start developing your team. And so I was great at just pumping out these advisors that were all doing $1 million roundtable, and they were just having these great lives and living the balance and everything that I had at one time. But when I came over to the other side of the next generation of partners, I wasn't that great at that. And then finally, I just said to some of the more, you know, experienced advisors, like, what do you think's going on? And I'm like, well, Robin, you work like a crazy person. Like, no one wants to do that. Like, so they love that you do it, and they love that you're so great at doing it and that you can help them, but they don't want to do that. And I have to tell you, it kind of just hit me between the eyes, because I was like, wow, like, okay, like I liked my life, you know, at that time. But I realized that no one thought that they could follow me. And so I had to make some changes. I had to do some soul searching about, you know, what was I projecting?
Mm-hmm.
And what was I thinking about? Like, obviously wasn't balanced, and kind of had to put some of those pieces, you know, back together and kind of go back to, why am I doing this?
Right.
And
that inspiration.
And why should you want to do this? Mm-hmm. Right. It is a great career for the right person, but it's not for everyone.
Right.
And I kind of had to back off of it and regroup, and then kind of started going back up from there. And But you know, you just you get hit with different things at every stage, and you know, we learn as we go. That's why it's called a career journey.
That's right. It's a journey. It's not a destination.
Exactly. Exactly.
So there's an interesting thing, and you're talking about your history in insurance, and I have history with insurance too. Mm. I was not successful at it. I'm glad that life lesson was learned and over. But one of the things that I remember, and it kind of goes to the syndrome, those who knew you then can't see you now. Mm. And so that scenario sometimes can be most prevalent in family-run businesses where you have a daughter or a son who come into the business, who start to run it as the matriarch or the patriarch starts to step aside, but they still see their son or daughter as the little kid playing in the playground, right, instead of making decisions. But it can also happen in the professional field with interns and college graduates that come and just kind of get their feet wet for the first time. And I remember when I was with Northwestern Mutual, we had a college intern program. And there was a college intern that came. His name was Joey. And he joined for the summer. He was great. Actually, he got his associate license the same time that I did. And he wasn't terribly younger than me because I was in my early 20s. But he carried the name Joey. And when he graduated from college, he became Joe. Mm. And when he came back to the agency, the local agency, it was very much Joey. And he ended up moving to New York office, did exceedingly well, one of the top million-dollar round table. But he carried that view of being the cute guy that came from college that was, you know, kind of edgy and funny, but could he really be the professional? And he really became that. And when I think about our business platform of where we are today and the way the economy is, it's so important that we are cultivating new leaders and new thoughts and ideas with emerging technology and everything that's happening across the board. What advice would you give to young professionals for forging a healthy, unique adult identity while realizing their talents and points of view, albeit different than their predecessors, are really important for driving future business?
You know, I don't want to put all young people, you know, in a box because they're all so different. But I would say one thing that helped me, and somebody taught me this, and it was called informational interviewing. And I would just call you, and I'd say, Lori, you know, I saw that you worked at Bank of America. You know, can I come pick your brain, right? Or I got your name from David. Mm-hmm. Right? And David said that you were somebody that I needed to know in the Jacksonville community. And you're going to say yes. I mean, 9 times out of 10, you're going to say yes. And I meet you for coffee or meet you at your office and, you know, just ask you, how did you get started? You know, did you think you were going to be doing this? I mean, or what did you think that you were going to be doing this? Are you going to stay here for another 20 years? And if not, why not? But if so, why? And these informational interviews were great for me when I moved to Jacksonville because I didn't know one person at all in Jacksonville. But I also interviewed business owners. So I try to do corporate and I try to speak to business owners. And business owners, I'd say, you know, how did you make it through 2008 with the recession? You know, how did you have to change your business? Mm-hmm. Did you change your business model, you know, pre-2008 and post-2008? Or I'd say, when you were starting your practice, what were the things that you did back then that, looking back, made you successful? And it was amazing if you really sit there and listen to what these people have to say. There is so much learning in that. And I think as just youth, when you say that people just think of you as you always were, I said, that's just youth. I mean, why is somebody going to let me invest their money when I'm 22 years old? I wouldn't give a 22-year-old my money either, right? But so I tried to focus on employee benefits. So everybody wanted to talk to me about group health insurance. So I just said, why don't I just learn one thing and just learn it really well? And then kind of when I get that down, then why don't I just take on maybe one more product line, right? And then I just kind of kept adding them. But one of the things about when you do a non-traditional career is you meet so many different people that what started to happen is that they were all educating me. So I was just listening and asking a lot of questions. But I was really listening and I was taking notes. And I just started to see themes, just like you mentioned in the beginning of the show about hard work. And it's not easy, and inspiration, and some of the stuff they had to do to get their businesses off the ground. And I just kind of kept this database of stuff in my head, but it was crazy. Because then I'd go to the next appointment, I'd go to the next business owner, and he or she would say to me, you know, I'm struggling with this. And then I'm like, oh, you need to call Pete the job guy. You know, I was just in his office. Mm-hmm. And they were like, really? Like, Pete's dealing with the same problem? Like, he's got the same problem. And I was like, well, what is he doing? I'm like, well, I heard he did this and this and that, but why don't you just call him? And why don't you just ask him? And they were like, would you think he would mind if I call him? Like, no, he's not going to mind. Like, everybody really, if you ask people for help,
right,
they want to help you.
People want to help.
People are not going to say, no, I'm not going to help you, right?
Yep.
I'd even argue, I never really paid attention to my competitors, right? Because we're our own competitor. Like, right? You know, we should just all be helpful.
Right.
And so I don't know if that makes sense, but the informational interviewing is something that, like, my cousin just called me yesterday and lost her job after 36 years. And she's an underwriter. And she lives in South Carolina. And she's devastated. And I'm like, you know, gosh, use all the resources that they're going to give you. But use this as a time to reflect, you know. And you don't have to be pigeonholed in this box of underwriting.
Right.
You know, you're organized. You know, you do financial, you can do pricing, you can do marketing. You know, they need product reps.
It really is about thinking broader than what
right.
you may have thought before.
Right.
But
exactly.
That's amazing information, and hopefully the listeners are enjoying the secrets here being shared. Mm-hmm. But now is time for us to hear from our Coach Larry, who's got a great message for us today. He always has great advice, and today is no exception.
I was delivering a session on inclusion and diversity this week where the focus was race and gender. And when I was speaking with the men, many of them, and that includes me sometimes, expressed that they don't know how to act when it comes to women. So I'll explain more, don't worry. In the workshop, we do an exercise where we ask, what did you learn growing up about what it means to be a man? What should you care about? What should you be good at? And often you hear things like, well, men need to be a provider, or I was told to be a leader, a winner. I was told to take care of women, to be a protector. When we were debriefing that exercise, several men shared a concern about not knowing how to act in a given scenario. So here's the scenario. What do you do if you are at an after-hours corporate event and a woman you know, or maybe a woman that you just met at the event, needs to walk back to her car to go home? Maybe you're in a city. Maybe it's the office parking lot. Do you offer to walk her to her car for safety? She might get offended. Other people might see you walking together and they may say, what's up with that? So today I'm going to talk about how do you have tough conversations in the workplace around race and gender and other inclusive situations, especially when you feel you might say something wrong. Then I'm going to get back to the original scenario I just mentioned. So first of all, I do want you to know, if you have these conversations, you're going to stumble. You're going to get it wrong. You're going to say the wrong thing, and you may offend someone. The important thing is that you try. Why? Because it builds trust where there are differences. And if you don't address things like sexism and racism, then they'll never go away. There are four keys to having these courageous conversations, according to Catalyst.org, a leading researcher on topics of inclusion. The four skills are to inquire across differences, suspend judgment, self-disclose, and demonstrate vulnerability. Let's go through them. First, when I inquire across difference, it's about being curious about the other person's experience, for example, as a woman, or as an African American, or a Muslim or Hispanic. So, for example, it could be something like, what was it like moving to this country at such a young age? What did you experience? Did you experience racism? How have you experienced working here as a Muslim woman? Or, hey, what was this offsite meeting like for you as someone who's physically impaired? Now, an important caveat here is to know that that person does not speak for all people who are physically impaired or are women or all Muslims, but it's important to inquire about their perspective. The next tip is to suspend judgment. Pay attention to your triggers. Are your biases judging their comments or behaviors as good or bad? This is hard for some, and it starts with you being aware of your own biases. Want a hint on where you get your biases? Look at your parents, your friends, your websites, the websites you visit. No, that doesn't mean that you are their clone or don't have a mind of your own, but you are influenced by society and your upbringing. Third and fourth, it's important to self-disclose something that is personal and be vulnerable about it. Be transparent about your own challenges when it comes to topics of inclusion. If you do this as a leader, others will feel safer to do so themselves. And I don't mean to self-disclose that, you know, I didn't sleep well last night or I shouldn't have had that second hamburger. It could be something like, you know, I was raised that there were two genders, men and women, and that's it. I don't know what it means to be non-binary or gender neutral. And I was always taught that a man opens the door for a woman and he makes sure that a woman gets home safely. So back to our situation. What do you do as a man if you are concerned for a woman getting back to her car after a corporate or social event? Now, this may seem overkill for some, but I'm going to lay it out for you using the model that I just shared with you. So first, remember, it's inquire across difference. You could ask, do you have any concerns getting back to your car? How do you typically handle these situations as a woman? Next, you can self-disclose and demonstrate some vulnerability and share that, you know, you were taught to make sure women get home safely, but you worry that women might take it the wrong way. And if you think it's appropriate, you could ask her if she wants someone to walk her to the car. Better yet, you can suggest that a group of you walk to your cars together. So how would you handle it? Would this work for you? What might concern you about this approach? As a facilitator and coach who focuses on inclusion and diversity, I'd love to hear what you struggle with in this area. You can get in contact with me at www.mendozaandobrien.com or on the LinkedIn. This is Coach Larry, and thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Great advice as always. So we've had a really good conversation with Robin, and as we wrap up, I just have two kind of fun questions for you. First of all, what's your biggest pet peeve?
Besides traffic? Okay. Yeah. My business pet peeve? Gosh, a lack of self-awareness.
Mm. I mean,
it's can be corporate America. It can be business owners. I think we all could just all take a class maybe and some more self-awareness. I'll just leave it at that. But hopefully you all know what I'm talking about.
Very good. Okay. Yes. And All right. This is one of my favorite questions ever. Who is your favorite superhero and why?
Can I say my dad?
That's a great superhero.
So my dad, God, he'll kill me. He's 77 years old, but he looks like he's 57. Okay. But takes care of my brother 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And let me tell you, it's superhero powers to be able to do that. My dad just had a knee replacement, so I have shower duty. So I have shower duty on Tuesday, Thursdays, and Sunday. My brother's not real excited about me having shower duty. But, you know, I'm just sitting there, and I get to go home. And I'm just thinking, how does my dad do this 7 days a week? So he's my superhero.
That is awesome. Yeah. I love that.
But other than that, I love Wonder Woman.
Yay.
I wish I looked like her.
Yeah, right? Don't we all?
Right. I love Wonder Woman.
Well, huge thank you, Robin, for being here and all that you shared, leading from the front, being part of our community and really making a difference. So it's time for us to close, but it wouldn't be a Pete the Job Guy show if we didn't have our colorful and always entertaining message from Boston Danny. Listeners out there, hard workers, if you want Danny to recognize someone you know's birthday, anniversary, special event, you can have him do this for you. Can you believe that? Just go to PeteTheJobGuy.com, click on the weekly contributors tab, and fill out the request. And Danny would love to do a shout out for you. So we're going to turn it over to him for only how he can do it.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here with your Great White North update. So, you know, it's coming up on Labor Day. I took this whole week off. I got 10 days. I'm down in Provincetown, Massachusetts. It's right at the tip of Cape Cod. God's country, let me tell you. It's his vacation spot. So, got all week down here. We've been hanging out with the Sharks. We got the family down. Show and I have been having some, then the family comes down with us and watching the boats, doing whale watches. We've been on sunset cruises. We've just been going to all the best restaurants down here in Provincetown. I downloaded my Shark Activity app, so now I know where all Whitey is. You know, we're going to have the baby down here. We don't want him cruising around getting a tidbit. I'm going to put Desmond in the water. First time he's been in the Atlantic, so it's just been so nice. And we've just been down here all. Labor Day, you got to love it. You know what I mean? I make it an 11-day weekend, so it's just perfect for me and what's going on here. And if you don't know about Provincetown, they call it the Key West of the North. It's, our eclectic little spot. It's got all the shops, all the galleries, every artist, and the Pilgrims Monument. It's actually the first spot the Pilgrims landed in before they got to Plymouth. They came here for 5 weeks, figured out there was no water, and, you know, they stole all the Indians' corn. There wasn't any more, so they had to move on. But, you know, I'm on vacation, folks. I know Pete is, taking some time off. He's got Laurie doing the job from today. She's an original hard worker, too. And I got all your shout-outs for your birthday, folks. Keep them coming in for me. You know I love it. I want to wish everyone a wicked happy birthday. You got one a year, folks. So I might as well celebrate it. So for birthday, we got Laura Briggs. We got Patrick Boo Tremlett. I grew up with a Boo. John Voto. Brutes Cotchetier. And Scotty Jackman. Peter's going to be hanging out with you tomorrow. So, you know, just remember, keep him in check. Not only is a hard worker, he's a hard player. All right? So we got a very big shout-out for Peter's dad, Bill Langlois. He's turning 81. Bill, congratulations. If anything, you know how to take care of your birthday. Like I said, do something nice for yourself, folks. Who knows, we'll do it for you. I also want to give a big congrats to Pete and Angie for finally starting their own staffing firm. It's about time. They're the original hard workers, and they're working hard for themselves. And so, Pete, keep up the good work. People love you getting jobs. I know how satisfying it is for you and Angie and hanging out like that. And, keep it going. The original hard workers. What else we got going on, folks? I'm just having a great time. The family came down, so we've been just, you know, I think I'll leave here when I run out of money, which will probably be Monday. So we're in there. So as always, Jacksonville, enjoy your Sunday. Have fun. Laurie, back to you. Great work, as always. And you're filling in for Peter. Have fun, folks.
Hard workers, thanks for making us part of your day. If you missed any part of the broadcast and you'd like to listen to it in its entirety, no problem. Podcast will be uploaded at PeteTheJobGuy.com Monday afternoon. Pete will be back next week. Hope you had some good information and that you're ready to get out there and get to it. You've just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. Not really, it's me. On News 104.5 WOKV.